So good. Yay. Oh, I love testimonies. And I also love it when they become confirmations about what I feel like he wants me to share, too. You guys good? Well, we've been talking about growing in intimacy with the Lord and really becoming one with him and becoming love in the last several weeks. And I was reading in 2 Peter and just asking the Lord what he wanted to go into next. And it's really kind of, I don't know, he's kind of building upon it, at least for me, some concepts about really understanding our fullness in him, our divine nature in him. And this verse jumped out at me, and then, of course, I kept reading, and I'll read the rest of it in just a minute. But I just want to hang out in 2 Peter 1:3. And I'm reading out of the Passion Translation just because it's new and fun. Listen to how he words this. Everything we could ever need for life and godliness has already been deposited in us by his divine power. So I'm going to read it again. Because remember, when I read the Bible, it's good to chew it, right? Line by line, word by word. Everything we could ever need for life. Does anybody have any needs? Okay, I just want you to think about them. What are some needs? If you could ask God, boom, 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 boom. You probably already have them on your prayer list. What are needs? Now, who knows that there's a difference between a need and a want? You can still ask for the wants too, but just saying. It says everything that you need and everything you could ever need for life, A. Everything you could ever need for life, you already have it. Everything you could ever need for godliness, you already have it. So if we ever get caught up in feeling like we're in lack or feeling like we're missing something, that something's not quite there, if we ever feel like we're in need, check, it could be a want, not a need, number one, but you already have it. It's whether or not you believe it or not. We tend to believe based on what we see, not necessarily by faith, right? So we have to have new eyes. Remember, I was talking last week about, you know, an amazing prayer, powerful prayer that you heard Jesus saying over and over. He'll say to those who have eyes, to those who have ears, let them hear. So I want to have eyes to see and ears to hear. And Revelation talks about for those who have eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. So everything we could ever need for life and godliness, that's everything. Everything has already been deposited in us. By how? His divine power. Not by anything that we could do, right? Not by works that we could boast. He's already given it to us. So I just want you to think right now, what are the needs that I have? What are my needs? I want you to think about one in particular. We have some big needs. So, okay, I have a need. It's not a want, it's a need. But everything I could ever need for life and godliness, I already have it. It's already mine. It's already been deposited in me. If you'll just hang out on that verse this week, that's the highlighted verse, okay? I want you to hang out in that verse. We're going to read a little bit more in this section of 2 Peter, but I want you to really think about everything. So how many times can you catch yourself complaining? How many times do you catch yourself thinking you don't have something or don't have enough of something or that you're working toward or striving for something? Okay, I just want you to think about that because we tend to look for our value and our worth based on what we can perform. We look for our value and our worth based on what we have or what we can accomplish. You can't be too rich or too thin in the United States. I mean, there's always something that people are going after. Okay, but what did Paul say? I forget where, but he says, you know, that he's known what satisfaction is, right? He knows what it is to be in want or to have abundance, but he knows what it is to be satisfied. And so that means you're already complete. You already have everything that you need. So somewhere in there is a lie if you feel like you're in lack. Somewhere in there is a lie, or you just have yet to fully understand. To fully have the revelation hasn't quite come. But just as Mia's testimony was, she kept seeking. She kept pursuing. She kept seeking and kept looking. She kept wanting understanding. She kept asking. She believed that God would tell her or she wouldn't keep asking, right? So she kept asking. She kept looking. She kept studying. And then Holy Spirit reminded her she already had a teaching. Do you see how these testimonies line up with my, it's crazy good, that's Jesus. So I get to use your examples instead of anything I could come up with. But she kept seeking and she already had it available. But then Holy Spirit reminded her, oh, okay, I'll listen to this teaching. And there were some answers in there. There was information, there was revelation in there that helped put some of the pieces together, right? Do you see what I'm saying? So it's just about, are we going to keep seeking him? Are we going to keep looking for him? Are we going to keep asking? And we don't have to do it in desperation as if he's going to give his heart in pieces. Remember we sang that song, he doesn't give his heart in pieces. He doesn't dangle his promises out there. He doesn't say, well, if you'll work hard enough, if you jump high enough, if you perform, he doesn't do that. But he does want seekers. He wants us to pursue him. Let's just think about romance for a minute. Can I go there? Does anybody like to be pursued? Who doesn't want to be pursued? Like, I don't know, just thinking about my little kids, we had this conversation not too long ago too, but like, you know, when you're little, like the minute somebody says, I think you're cute or I think you're good, you go, oh, just the awareness that somebody likes me. You know, our friends will tell you, they like you, they like so-and-so likes you. They like me? You don't know this person, you don't know anything about them, but all of a sudden you get this, someone likes me, right? It's flattery, right? Why would we even use the word flattery? I always think of butterfly flapping, you know, but, you know, there's flattery. Your heart flutters, if you will. Okay, why? Because we want to be pursued. We want to know that we're treasured. We want to know that we're beautiful. We want to know that we're attractive. We want to know that we're wanted or desired because there's something inside of us that was born in this place of lack in the sense that we were born separated from the Father, remember? We were born as orphans, but we're no longer orphans. And yet, we can often sometimes stay in that place where we feel like we still have a need, we still have a desire, we're still not quite yet complete. But what the Lord is saying in here is he's saying, not any longer. You have me. You have everything. It's already been now deposited in you. When you received Christ, when you received the Holy Spirit, you received everything. He doesn't trickle it out. He doesn't drip it out. He gives it all. He gave it all to give it all to you. And so you have already inherited all of it. Everything we could ever need for life and godliness has already been deposited in us by his divine power. For all this was lavished upon us. That word lavished is on purpose. Come on, let's think about that word. Lavished, poured out in abundance, right? That's what that word means, to be lavished upon, okay? For all this was lavished upon us through the rich experience of knowing him, who has called us by name and invited us to come to him through a glorious manifestation of his goodness. Okay, I'm going to slow down and back up. Everything's already been deposited by his power. For all this was lavished on us through how? Through the rich experience of knowing him. Can you remember the last time you felt or remembered a rich experience of the Lord? We've been talking about pursuing his presence. We've been talking about pursuing intimacy, pursuing his heart. But how have you lately experienced the lavish love of God? Have you experienced being in his presence? You know, even in a place of loss and grief, Ben and his family were able to experience God. They weren't necessarily seeking it out. You were asking and you were praying, God, give us a word. You had said that. But as they went, they were available. Their eyes were available. Their ears were available. And they saw. They could have just driven by this stuff. Oh, yeah, nice fireworks. Huh, that's kind of cool. Oh, there's, you know, they just kind of thought it could have just been an event. Do you understand what I'm saying? It could have just been an event. But because they have stewarded and are partnering with the presence of the Lord, because they were in this place pursuing his heart for them, asking for him to manifest himself, they were looking with eyes to see, with ears to hear, looking And then it just so happens, the timing, right? The timing of the Lord is always amazing to me. Just the timing of it. And the fact that they drove right by Angel Stadium. Come on. I mean, you know, God's funny with puns, right? So they drive by Angel Stadium and it's like, boom, the grand fireworks go off. The impression of this is what's going on in heaven. And then they got to experience it. There was something they were able to see and able to hear in experiencing that. So I want you to think about a time when you last experienced him in that way. In your heart of hearts, it might be in your emotion, you know, it might be a tangible, we talked about tangible manifestations that he'll sometimes show up in, you know, having the feeling of pain leave your body, you know. That was a tangible relief, a tangible healing that their mother-in-law was able to feel. So there's a tangible awareness. It's not just a knowing, that's good. But all I'm wanting you to understand is that there's always more in the Lord. Like, we don't have to be satisfied with just that in that sense, that it's okay to keep pursuing and keep seeking him, not from a place of lack, because we already have it, it's already been deposited. But look, it says, for all of it was lavished upon us through the rich experience of knowing him who called us by name. He is so personal. He is so intimate. He knows you by name. He knows everything about you. Look at Psalm 139, all the different things that he says about how he knows how he knit you in your mother's womb. He knows the very number of hairs on your head, including the ones that came out in the shower or in your brush this morning. Like, he knows, like, every single bit of it. He knows you intimately. He called you by name, and he invited you to come to him through what? A glorious manifestation of his goodness. What was the manifestation of his goodness? When your heart shifted and said yes to him, whenever it was that you said yes. Do you remember that day? Some of you may not. It might have been a long, long time ago. I know for some people, they just kind of grew up knowing the Lord because that's all they'd ever heard and known, you know, in their homes or whatever. But I want you to think about the first time you really could feel, sense, know, hear, however you encountered him, this place of your faith that said, I choose God. I'm choosing Jesus. When you began to understand that he chose you, and he called you by name, right? Remember the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, who brought you out of slavery. He wants us to meditate on that. In verse 4, as a result of this, so here's the fruit. As a result of that encounter, he has given you magnificent promises that are beyond all price. They are promises that cannot be bought. They're so exquisite, they cannot have a price tag. They're above and beyond any price. As a result, he has given you magnificent promises that are beyond all price, so that through the power of these tremendous promises, you can experience, there's that word again, you can experience partnership with the divine nature, by which... that nature, by which you have escaped the corrupt desires that are of this world. You are no longer of this world. You know, there's another passage in John I had shared weeks ago about that little section. I don't remember exactly where it is, somewhere in 14 through 17. During all those red letters, Jesus said, as he's praying to the Father, Lord, they are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. But I'm not asking you to take them out of this world, but protect them from the enemy, for they are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. He says it twice. Remember, anytime you hear Jesus say something twice, you want to like do a double take. Look again and notice the verse in the middle. He promised, what he was saying, he's like, I don't want you to take them out of this world. Do you know he could have taken us out right then? He could have said, let's just snap your fingers. If the whole plan was to get to heaven, he could have just prayed that. He said, that's not the plan. The plan's not one day to die and get to heaven. He died so that he can get heaven inside of us and we can manifest him in this divine nature, that we are becoming like Jesus, that he wants us to manifest his divine nature so that we can escape the corrupt desires that are of this world. He has given you magnificent promises so that through the power of those promises, you can experience partnership with the divine nature. So no matter what's going on, no matter how you feel, no matter what the circumstance is, you're one with God. And you can manifest his nature. So when someone wrongs you, you can manifest his nature. The fruit of the Spirit, Ben was talking about his dad, able to have and carry all of those things. If we're becoming Jesus, that's the nature we're becoming. But it's about coming back to this partnership and remembering his promises so that we can manifest it. It continues in verse 5. So devote yourselves to lavishly supplementing your faith with goodness, and to goodness add understanding. And to understanding add the strength of self-control. And to self-control add patient endurance. And to patient endurance add godliness. And to godliness add mercy toward your brothers and sisters. And to mercy toward others add unending love. Listen to this. Since these virtues are already planted deep within, and you possess them in abundant supply, they will keep you from being inactive or fruitless in your pursuit of knowing Jesus Christ more intimately. Isn't that good? Do y'all get that? These virtues are already planted deep within us. I know that I've been like, I don't have patience, Jesus, but I'm not going to pray for it neither because I don't want the lesson on how to deal with any troubles coming my way that I have to practice patience, right? We've talked about pursuing godly character and the fruit of the Spirit or whatever. He's the author and the perfecter of our faith. So if we'll stay in this place of faith and partnering with him and with these promises, right? It will speak to our emotions. It'll speak to our circumstance. It'll speak to whatever it is that we'll be in partnership with him, in intimacy with God, one with him, that we can be above all of those things. And all of this stuff that's already been planted deep within us will come out because our spirit is tied with Holy Spirit. And that's when it'll start to manifest. But if anyone lacks, then they're blind, constantly closing their eyes to the mysteries of our faith, forgetting about their innocence, meaning that your past sins have been washed away. So we have to remember that we're saved. We have to remember that we're one with him and that we're not lacking anything. For this reason, beloved ones, be eager to confirm and validate that God has invited you to salvation. Confirm and validate. What does that look like? What would that look like? To confirm and validate, to declare that it's true, that God has invited you to salvation. Be eager to confirm and validate it. That he invited you to salvation and claimed you as his own. If you do these things, you will never stumble. You'll never stumble. As a result, here's the fruit, as a result, the kingdom's gates will open wide to you. Hallelujah. Come on. They'll open wide to you as God choreographs, I love that word in this translation, as God choreographs your triumphant entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus, the Messiah. And he says later, so I won't hesitate to continually remind you of these truths, even though you are aware of them and are well established in the present measure of truth that you already have embraced. And as long as I live, says Peter, I'll continue to awaken you with this reminder. We have to be awakened about the reminder to remember it's already in us. It's already in there, even if I don't feel it, even if I don't necessarily see it, even if I don't even know, I know it's in there. Why? Because I have access to the one who created all things. He lives within me. He's inside. I have Holy Spirit. You have everything that you need in this life, for this life, and all godliness. And so you have to start declaring these things. Okay, there's a scripture in Job. It says to decree a thing and it will be established, right? So we have to speak it. How did God create things? He spoke it. So the power of the tongue, it speaks life or it speaks death. He who speaks it will what? Eat its fruit. If we speak life, we will eat life. If we speak his promises, guess what? We get to eat of those promises. We get to declare and decree a thing and establish it. That means make it so in the same way that God did. So I posted the other day, I'm like, prophesy the solution to your problem. What would it look like, right? What are the promises of God? What would it look like if that just manifested? It's already in you. You already have it. You already have everything that you need. That's what the word says. So I may not see it right now, God, but for every need that I have for this life, you've promised it. It's already here. It's already available. I may not see it right now, but I'm going to start declaring it. Why? Because we're supposed to live by faith. We're supposed to live by faith, not by sight necessarily. We're supposed to live by trusting him and looking at his promises. So I'm going to go through some of these promises here. I was looking up several just for my own sake, some of the ones that I like, and then I decided to Google, because you know you can find almost anything on Google these days, right? So I just looked at some promises, and I actually found a website. I found it really interesting. I haven't looked at all of it just yet, but it's 365promises.com if you want to go and look it up. They've got great little photo things or whatever. But 365 promises, one for every day, right? So here's a couple. I'm just going to read through some. And if you like some of these, want to hang on to them, I'll read the address for you too so you can go and look them up, or you can certainly go to this website and look through them. But I want to encourage you, as you read God's word, check out some of those promises, especially if you need a weapon that you might struggle with in a certain area. If you need a particular truth to combat a lie, if you need a promise, the sword of the Spirit's the word of God. But let's listen to some promises. Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord your God, and I never change. Psalm 103:8, I am full of mercy and grace, and I overflow with love. Psalm 33:11, the intentions of my heart will remain steadfast forever. Genesis 1:27-28, I created you in my own image and with my special blessing. Ephesians 1:4-5, I chose you to be adopted into my family before creation. These are all paraphrased just a little bit if you haven't noticed. Colossians 1:12-13, I delivered you from darkness and into the kingdom of my beloved son. Galatians 3:29, since you are in Christ, I've made you an heir of all of my promises. So if you catch any promises, they're yours. They're inherited. You don't have to earn them. You just receive them. We all know Jeremiah 29:11, my plan for your future is filled with hope. Psalm 23:2, I will give you rest in green pastures and lead you to still waters. John 3:34, I give my spirit in unlimited measure. Psalm 37:24, I will take hold of your hand to keep you from falling. Isn't that good? Hebrews 13:20-21 says, I will provide every good thing that you need to do my will. Come on, that's a good one. You ever need any provision? I'm going to read that one again. Hebrews 13:20-21. I will provide every good thing you need in order to do my will. Proverbs 3:11-12, I will discipline you in love as a father who loves his children. Numbers 6:24, I will bless your life and keep watch over you always. Jeremiah 29:13, if you search for me with all your heart, you will find me. Psalm 97:10, there's a lot in the Psalms. I will shield your life and deliver you from the wicked. Oops, go back. This is one of my favorites. Psalm 84:11, I will not withhold anything good from those with an upright heart. Kind of goes along with our pieces song. Psalm 146:9. I look after foreigners and I help the fatherless and the widow. Psalm 116:6. I will guard those who have a childlike heart. Romans 8:37, you are more than a conqueror through my love in Jesus Christ. More than a conqueror. I know what a conqueror is. I'm still asking Jesus about what's more than a conqueror. 1 Peter 5:4, when Jesus appears, you'll receive a crown of glory that will never dim. Joshua, oops, go back. Oh, I missed it. I'll leave this last one. Where'd it go? Joshua. Joshua 23:14. Not one of my promises will ever fail you. So I want you guys to think about the promises of the Lord. So there's scripture. We can dig into scripture and looking for his promises. And it's important that we recognize. Remember in Ephesians, it talked about the armor of God. Do y'all remember that? The belt of truth, right? What holds you together. Okay, you've got your breastplate of righteousness. That means we're in right standing with God. But what does it do? It protects our heart, okay? We've got the helmet of salvation. What is salvation? That word sozo means it means to be saved, healed, and delivered, completely set free. What is it covering? My mind, my thought life, okay? So I'm protected there. I've got shoes on for the readiness of the gospel of peace. We're not to rush into a fight, not to rush into an argument, but peace, okay? Notice we're standing, though, right? And he says, then I've got my shield. Do y'all remember this? Many, many long time ago, I talked about our shield of faith. If you've ever done a Beth Moore study, she does this with believing God. And we did that study a long, long time ago in another church, and this was like the way we ended every service for like, I don't know, 6 years or something. But the shield of faith, it protects you from the flaming arrows of the evil one. They're not regular arrows, right? He comes to kill, steal, and destroy you. He wants to take you out. So what's the shield? God is who he says he is. God will do what he says he will do. I am who God says that I am. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. God's word is alive and active in me, and I'm believing God. That's your shield of faith. Okay? Who he is and who we are. That's identity. So that protects us here from the front. Now, our only offensive weapon is the sword. The sword of the Spirit, which is the very word of God himself. Okay? And I don't have to, like a little kid trying to pick up a sword and sling this giant heavy sword, you know, like we don't have to necessarily learn. People will say, well, we got to learn how to, you know, wield that sword or whatever. Yes, but I also believe that the sword speaks for itself. The sword will fight for itself. It's not about my ability to sling the sword. I just got to have it. Okay, I just got to have it, and then it will do its own thing, okay? Think like Excalibur, like it has its own ability, its own power. All I've got to do is speak it. I just got to partner with the Father said. I just got to have it, and it will do the battle, okay? But I've got to be able to agree. I've got to be able to speak it, but that's our only offensive weapon, and I want you to notice that there's nothing covering our backside. We're not supposed to run from the fight. It actually says in that scripture that after you've done everything you can do, you are still standing in peace. Shoes for the gospel of peace, right? Everything, all else protected, and there's our sword. So we've got to hang on to some promises. We've got to be able to know the word enough to be able to know when a situation is happening. We know how to partner with that word and declare, but this is a truth. We'll either agree to it, believe it, or you won't. And if anything else, come back to that one scripture in 2 Peter. I've already been given everything. It's deep within me somewhere. I just need to draw it out. It's in there, in this deep well within me. Okay? So the other thing I want you to think about when it comes to promises is how many of you have prophetic words? They could be dreams that God's given you in the night. They could be visions. They could be impressions. It could be during a Bible study. If you flip through one of my old Bibles, you'll see highlighted and notes and all kinds of stuff because I used to write in my old Bible, an NIV, for a long, 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 long time. And I thought in college I should grow up and get a new one. So I did. I went on to the New American and then the Amplified. And now I read multiple translations just because it's fun. I like to really dig into it. But I have notes. I have notebooks and notebooks and notebooks of things. I've written dreams. I've written out my promises. I've written out any time that the word has jumped out at you. Just think about this right now. You got any favorite scriptures that you like to quote? Do you have any favorite scriptures that come to mind? Nod your head. You don't have to say anything out loud. Nod your head. I'm going to see everybody nodding. Okay. If you don't have them, find some. Find some scriptures that you can quote. Now, I can be forgetful. I can forget details. I like big picture stuff unless I'm really working at something intentionally and I can look at details. But I used to be one of those people that used to say, well, I can't really memorize scripture very well. I know what it says and I could probably quote to you or at least paraphrase it, but I won't always know the address. That's still true a little bit to this day. But I repented. I had to repent because I have the mind of Christ. I can memorize his word. I can know his word. If I eat his word, I can quote his word, right? So being able to tell you the address of a scripture used to be really hard for me. But the Lord revealed himself on a regular basis saying, kind of, you know, to me. And a few times he said, no, you don't get to believe that lie. I gave you the ability to be able to know how to use that. So I'm going to be able to, I had to practice intentionally. I had to get out some index cards. I had to write them down. I had to review them. I had to memorize them. We had to do the Bible trivia thing, not just in, you know, grade school, VBS or whatever. Like, it's important that you're in the word and you catch a couple of words and then you highlight them. I don't care if they're paraphrased like these little pictures are. If you catch an inspirational quote or whatever and you post it on your Instagram, go back and look at them again. Scroll through the ones that caught your eye that you decided to keep, but recognize which ones of those could speak into your situation right now. Which ones, you know, God will not withhold one good thing from me. That's Psalm 84:11. That verse transformed something in my heart when someone else prayed that scripture over me. It became a living prophetic word. It became a promise of the Lord that actually brought healing to me. Because I believed a lie I didn't even know existed that was in there that he would withhold because he didn't answer a prayer in the way that I thought he would. But then when he revealed it, Holy Spirit gave me that revelation that just came, kind of like the understanding of the revelation of me as dream. Like there was an aha moment where he came and it spoke to me. So who's got some scriptures that jumped off the page and spoke to you at any time in your life? Do you remember that? Do you remember when the word came alive? I want you to remember, just take a minute, I want you to remember intentionally, what's the passage? Do you remember how you felt? Do you remember when, or maybe it was a sermon that you're like, man, this preacher is reading my mail today. Do you remember? Remember the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. Remember those encounters that you have with him. And I love how Graham Cook puts it. He says, those are your inheritance words. Those are your inheritance words. Now, the whole Bible we inherit. It says we inherit all of his promises. We're heir to all of his promises, okay? But when Holy Spirit has revealed something to you specifically, it's become personal, especially around your situation or whatever it is, but it is a personal word to you. I want you to consider that is like a prophetic word. Why? Because it came to life. It was God's word spoken over you. It didn't have to necessarily come through somebody else. Could have come through a preacher. Could have come through something else. I've shared, you know, I've watched secular movies. I'd watched Lincoln or whatever, and I had like this full spiritual encounter. I know the story of Lincoln. I mean, Daniel Day-Lewis did great, you know, all set. I mean, it was a good movie, but it had nothing to do with any of that. God started giving me downloads and revelation about something about this revivalist Lincoln who fulfilled his calling, even though he was killed at the end, even though he was assassinated, he still fulfilled a major call on his life. Okay. And it wrecked me. And there was just this download that God, I don't even remember half the movie because I was having an encounter with God in the movie theater about it, weeping about it. And everyone else was looking at me like, it's Lincoln, like, Like, not a shocker, he dies at the end. Do you know what I mean? Like, but I was moved because, not because of the movie, but because God was revealing some things in me and that I was having an encounter with him. He can use anything. He can use anything. But when it's his word, right, it comes with power. When it's a prophetic word, when it's the voice of the Lord, when you encounter him in that place, it's transformative. So you have to remember. Remember the Lord. Remember the Lord. You've got to remember. If you're in a situation that's hard and it's hard to hear him or to see him or to feel him or whatever it is, you got to go back and remember. You got to. But your word says this. Do you ever have any of your kids, I don't know, or maybe you said this when you were younger, but you promised. Anyone ever do anything where you had to throw a fit and do that? I'm just saying, but you promised. That's not fair. Whatever it is, right? But you promised. We expect a promise to be fulfilled. If you're a person of your word, when you make a promise, you follow through or you don't make a promise, right? Okay. We take promises pretty seriously, I think. Well, I think the Lord does too. He's good. His promises are real, okay? So we got to remember his promises. So not just the word here, but I want you to think about those encounters, those experiences that you've had. God, I remember. That's why we do the testimonies, y'all. That's why we do the testimonies, because I love hearing what God's doing, and we're giving him glory. He's getting the reward for it, but then we get to share it, because why? He's no respecter of persons. And when we begin to share testimonies, since he's no respecter of persons, then I go, oh, you did that for them. I know you'll do it for me because he's good, right? We don't have to say, not fair. We don't have to scream that because he's good. He is fair. But we don't have to remind him because he forgot. But it does. The scripture does say that he wants us to speak them. He wants us to remind him of his word. He wants us to dialogue with him. You know, Graham Cook is one of my favorite speakers, and when he talks about this topic, he always talks about how he likes to read the Word of God to God. Kind of like you're telling your kids a bedtime story. He likes to read the Word back to God, you know? He's like, read to me, Graham, you know, is what he says. So he begins to read to him. I think it's important that we do that we remember, God, you said this. And I can tell you that I do have prophetic words. If you have prophetic words, I urge you, insistently, to write them down somewhere. Gather those words together and put them somewhere that you will review on a regular basis. I have separate journals. I have lots of little journals, one for dreams, one for different things or whatever, you know, prayer books, notes that I take from sermons. But I have this one where I've gathered all of my prophetic words, words that really stuck with me, words that I really felt like for the Lord, that people in the body that you would never know, just regular people who've prophesied over me, to well-known people with international ministries have prophesied over me, and I've stewarded those words as if they were literally from God himself, because I believed that they were his words, and I received them as such, okay? And I wrote them down, and to steward a word means you treasure it. You treasure the word. Like we treasure the word of God, we treasure it, we remind ourselves of it, we read on it, we think on it, we meditate on it. So in the same way, I do that with my encounters, those experiences that we've had, that I know it was God. I know it was God that shot off those fireworks right at the right moment for his family to know. You will never forget that. That was a beautiful vision of God saying, yes, there's a party happening in heaven. Yes, and it's that big. Okay, like Angel Stadium, 150,000 people screaming more. We know there's more, throngs and throngs, right? Thousands upon 10,000s. But listen, when you have those encounters, you got to remember those. So write them down. Write them down somewhere so that you can go back and remember them. And especially when you get prophetic words too. There are words that I thought were for a while ago. Oh, that got fulfilled then. But when I go back and read them, I'm like, oh, that word actually applies here too. Just like the Bible, okay? Even when you read it in context for the time and the era that it was written in, it also still what applies today. Why? Because it's living. It's the living word of God because Holy Spirit is on it and he breathes it and he makes it count right when you need it to. Ever read a passage over and over and over again and it looks really different today than it did before? like you know it, but it shows up a little different today. Why? Because it's speaking to you right now. It's feeding you right now for whatever the situation is. It jumps off the page. It gets highlighted to you, if you will. Okay? So you've got to steward your prophetic promises, your prophetic words, these words of encouragement that people speak over you. That's why it's important for us to learn to discern the voice of the Lord. Even if we're just speaking scripture, when we're praying over people, I promise you, if you've ever taken the opportunity to pray over somebody else, if you have not, I encourage you to do that. It's part of your destiny and your calling as a believer and a child of God. You are to pray over people, not just for people. Do you hear me? You're to pray over people. Lay hands on them, pray over them, speak over them. You can do it too in the spirit and the prayer life. Like there's no distance in time in the kingdom. You know that, right? Like God's outside of time and there's no distance. So if I need to talk to somebody's spirit who's in the hospital, I'll say, you, your spirit must arise right now. I pray, God, that you impact that person right now. And I call that spirit to attention right now in Jesus. And I declare who you are. This is who you are. I speak over that person because God said we can. We're to bless them, whether they're in our face or not. But when you get a prophetic word or when you prophesy over somebody else, we test the word. That is our responsibility, to test the word, to make sure it fits and sounds like God. If it lines up with his character and lines up with the word of God, it might be God. So go ahead and write it down and steward it. If you're not sure, I just say, go ahead and write it down. And I don't tell people to flush their words. I say, put it on the shelf. If it doesn't fit right now, that's okay. But go back to it. Go back to it. It's kind of like Mia's little podcast thing, right? Like God will remind you where it is and you're going to go back to it on a regular basis and look at it. So I gathered all of mine up. The Lord said, put them all into one little book. So I read through them. I've got one book that from 2005 until now, I have all of the words over me, my husband, my children, over our family. Any words that we have of destiny or calling are all in there. And I go back and I read and review. Oh yeah, I remember that conference. Oh yeah, I remember that time in prayer. Oh yeah, I remember that experience. Oh yeah, I remember that. And it helps me remember the Lord who either encountered me in that moment or gave me that word. And just because it applied then doesn't mean it can't apply now, doesn't mean it may not be in your future either. But these are promises. I can say, you spoke this, Jesus. It may not be manifesting right now, and I don't understand it. I have no idea how it's going to even come about. But especially when it's been told to you not once, not twice, but three times, four times, and five times. Like we were told for many years, almost 10 years before we finally moved to New Braun Falls. We didn't even know we were headed. I've shared this story, but for 10 years we knew we were moving, but we never knew where. We had different opportunities that showed up over the course of those 10 years. We just have always known we would not be in Abilene forever. We didn't like that word necessarily, in that season. But I'm just telling you, he'll tell you. But then especially the closer something's about to shift, he'll start telling you a little bit more often. Kind of like, did you hear me? Did you hear me? Anybody have to remind their kid, hey, I need you to do your chores. Hey, did you do your chores? Hey, did you do your chores? I still need you to do your chores. Okay, seriously? You still haven't done your chores? Like, that has been in my mouth. Yeah, I'm just saying. So sometimes we need reminders, right? So steward the words that you've been given. Write them down. If you do not have words, you're going to get some words tonight. And I want you to find a pen and a piece of paper, and I want you to write some of these words down. And I want you to steward them as if they've come from the Lord. You need to test them. They should always be positive. They should always be uplifting. They should always bring comfort and encouragement. Should not be criticizing or calling out sin. If you've ever had bad prophetic ministry, there's sometimes wounding in that. We don't call out sin. We call out the gold in people. We declare identity, and we declare what we feel like the Father is saying to you, and it'll always be good. It'll always be for you. It'll always be encouraging. Right? It'll be talking about from the Father's heart what he's saying about you or what he's doing in your life or what he's going to do. And oftentimes, it's not a brand new thing. Oftentimes, it's a confirmation of something he's already said to you or he's already revealed to you. But because someone else who shouldn't know better says it, then it confirms and affirms, yes, that was me, Cindy. That was me talking to you. And now you know because somebody else said it or validated it. Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay. So I'm going to pray in just a moment. And what we're going to do, we have lots of time. What I want us to do is I want us to break up into groups of four. And we're going to pray and prophesy over each other, okay? And we're going to do them in a couple of different steps or stages or whatever. But I want us to practice it. And it's okay if you're a little nervous about this. Just remember, everyone can pray over people. So if when in doubt, you pray over them and you just speak a blessing. Like, what do you think would be good? Do you guys know how to give good gifts to people? Do you know how to go shopping for people and give good presents? Do you know? No, you're not. Okay. Well, do you know the kind of presents you like to get? You know, do you know what good stuff you would want? Well, I bet you someone else would want that too on some level. You can pray a blessing, right? Anyone can pray for health over somebody. Anyone can pray over wisdom. Anyone can pray a blessing over them, a protection over their home. What are some of these things that you would want? You can pray those things, but notice as you pray over people, God will sometimes drop some things into your spirit or into your mind that will actually be a word of knowledge, something you shouldn't know, or it will be a prophetic word, something that the Father is speaking about them or about a situation in that moment. And if it isn't, I mean, it's okay just to pray the blessing, okay? There's no pressure here. We're not performing, but we want to partner with the Lord to release a word over them. So ask the Lord for a word, ask for a picture, and I'll guide you as we do this exercise, but I want you guys to practice praying over one another so that we can release the blessing of God, because that's what we get to do. That's the fun stuff of the kingdom, is we get to actually impart. Remember, we've been given everything. We've been given everything, so it's already inside of us, not just for us, but for other people, okay? We're blessed to be a blessing, so I want us to be able to practice doing that. We're small and intimate enough, so we're going to take some time and partner up in just a minute. So let me pray. So, Father, I thank you that your promises are everlasting. I thank you that your promises are true, God. I thank you that we can depend on your word. And when in doubt, God, we know that we can grab hold of a scripture that we know that we know that we know is from you, that it's good for us, to us, and through us to other people. So God, I ask that you would help each one of us to remember that we already have everything that we need for this life and for godliness, to be one in you, Lord. I ask that you awaken inside of us, as Peter said that we would be awakened to remember your promises, that we'd be awakened to remember the encounters and experiences that we've had with you, that we would increase our joy capacity by remembering your blessings in our life, that thankfulness and gratitude would arise in our heart as we worship you. To be in awe that we are one with you, God, and that everything that we need is available in you. I thank you that faith, hope, and love, these three remain. And I thank you that the greatest is love, that we're found in your love, Lord. So God, I ask right now that you would release a level of impartation, Lord, an increased level of awareness of you, of your spirit. Lord, that you would open our eyes to see with our spiritual senses. Open our ears to hear. Help us to be aware of you, God. Let us know, Father, what it is that you want to impart to the people you're about to use us to bless. Give us words, Lord. Give us pictures. Reveal to us the gifts you want us to give to people. Thank you, Lord. What fun we get to partner with you in advancing your kingdom in this way. What fun. Thank you, Jesus. We love you and we thank you. And it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.